We'll take a look at a more controversial time for these rain reports in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the digital confines of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with the January 20 rain report. Do you remember some commentaries from the 90s called Bites from QZB? A Chicago-area ham named Mark Thompson, WB9QZB, expressed his often controversial ham radio viewpoints on these rain reports over 20 years ago. These days, he's wrapped up in promoting the digital side of amateur radio. So just what did his bites sound like? We'll present two of them for you this week. Here is his bites from QZB commentary he penned and voiced in early 1994.
Hello, this is Mark, WB9QZB, with some bites from QZB, entitled, Your No-Code Accent. First, I'd like to start this editorial by saying that I have been and continue to be one of the largest supporters of the No-Code license. This license has been responsible for the significant growth of ham radio in the last couple of years. Of course, we've all heard the objections to the no-code license, but let's take a look at a different perspective. How has the no-code licensee operated on the air? The reason I bring this up is that although I don't regularly use any repeaters, I do on occasion listen to 2-meter repeaters. What I've heard recently is somewhat disconcerting. While I don't want to stereotype, the first thing that tips you off to a no-coder is that they have a 1x3 call sign, such as N9XXX. Although in some districts, they have exhausted this block and are now issuing 2x3 call signs, such as KB9XXX. Many of them are familiar with using two-way radios, such as CBs, and don't seem to have any fear of talking on the radio. This is where the problem begins. It is both what they're talking about and how they're talking about it. For example, in a recent conversation, a no-coder, when asked his name, indicated that his personal was such and such. What's a personal? This is directly from CB radio. No different than if he'd said Breaker 19. Another no-coder asked how long the other ham had been out here. Yet another CB term. But the worst example was a few weeks ago when I was listening to a wide area coverage repeater in southeastern Wisconsin. Three no-coders were chatting. One of them had his license for only a day and had a new Radio Shack HT. He asked the others how he sounded, and of course they said great. In fact, one of them said that his signal was excellent, since his S-meter on his radio was at 10 over 9. Mind you now, they're using a repeater here. The problem was that the new ham's audio was really very low and almost couldn't be heard, but no one said anything about it. Well, this went on for a while, and finally I couldn't contain myself. I broke in politely and indicated to the one-day ham that while his signal into the repeater was okay, his audio was very low and that he should either talk closer to the mic or adjust his mic gain. He didn't really want to believe me, nor did the other two no-coders, until another ham with 30 years of experience in the hobby also broke in and agreed with me. The question is, what's wrong with this picture? Let's start with something the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, used to call our novice accent. Many years ago, the ARRL published articles about the novice accent. The articles dealt with the fact that as new hams, novices need to learn to be good hams and follow established procedure and decorum. I call these recent events with no-coders our no-code accent. There are two problems I see developing. First is that hams with a lot of experience are not given the advice and guidance needed by new hams. We need to help them get their equipment in good working order with on-the-air signal reports and technical advice. They need guidance from us. We need to tell them what's acceptable on ham radio and what isn't. We need to invite them to join us in ham radio events and become a complete part of the ham fraternity. The second problem is with the no-coder. The no-coder needs to accept established procedure on ham radio. He needs to realize that although he may be comfortable talking on a radio because of his CB experience, he may have picked up some bad habits that he is going to need to shake. More importantly, he needs to accept and ask for advice from more experienced hams. Another aspect to this whole discussion is that there is more to ham radio than just buying a 2-meter HT and yakking on the repeater. One could learn code and use the HF bands. Or better yet, the no-coder could begin using our VHF and UHF bands Using Moog such as single sideband, CW, fastscan TV, satellites, packet, and so forth. They could get on 6 meters, 222, 432, or 1.2 gigahertz. Ham radio is to have fun with, and also to experiment with. There is more to do on ham radio than most of us have the time for, but we need to continue to explore new horizons. In addition, there is much public service and emergency communications that we can also become involved in. So I encourage new hams to pay attention to all of what ham radio has to offer and take the advice of hams with many years of experience. More importantly, it is incumbent on all of us, new and old alike, to welcome the new ham and give the guidance they need. If they develop bad operating habits, we only have ourselves to blame for not nipping it in the bud early on. These have been some bites from Mark Thompson, WB9QZB, for RAIN.
You're listening to some of these rare moments of controversy heard on these RAIN reports in the 90s decades, penned and voiced by Chicagoan Mark Thompson, WB9QZB. We'll bring you another Bites from QZB, this one from 1995, in a moment. The RAIN Report is downloadable and can be streamed from therainreport.com and heard during the Saturday evening amateur radio block of programming on the Lebanon, Tennessee shortwave station WTWW on 5085 kHz. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The RAIN Report from www.therainreport.com.
Hello, this is Mark, WB9QZB, with another Bites from QZB editorial entitled Ham Radio and Personal Responsibility. Did you ever get the feeling that people in America are drifting farther and farther away from taking personal responsibility for their own actions? Well, I have, and I've started seeing it in ham radio, too. Unfortunately, many figures promoted by the media provide poor role models. Lorena Bobbitt blamed her husband for the mutilation she did to him. Amy Fisher blamed Joy Buttafuoco for her shooting his wife. One race blames another for their perceived discrimination. The liberal politician blames the wealthy for the poverty of the poor and accuses corporations of being deceptive and sinister. And then there's the court system, where a jury recently awarded several $1 million to a lady who burnt herself by spilling coffee she had purchased from a fast food restaurant. In fact, many parents are afraid of punishing their children in the public school system because someone might call the police. The criminal justice system, with its inflexible, onerous laws, may then prosecute innocent parents. In fact, many people believe that the role of government is to take care of them and protect them from themselves. What these people need to do is start taking personal responsibility for their own actions, and it's no different in ham radio. A couple of years ago, a story was reported in the ham radio media about a ham who had been issued a notice of apparent liability by the FCC for broadcasting a tape of a well-known pirate broadcaster from his car. In fact, the ham was caught in eastern Colorado on a Sunday evening while mobile, after broadcasting for several hours continuously that day. He was using a ham transceiver and a kilowatt amplifier, and his acts were obviously intentional. This ham had been the president of the Denver Amateur Radio Club. He was an editor of a Land Mobile magazine and was in fact scheduled to give a speech on pirate broadcasting. In a later article, it was reported that his act was a cry for help. Give me a break. He may have a problem, but it's nothing a significant fine won't solve. Then there was the case of the high school coach and school radio club mentor, who was caught transmitting false police distress calls in a Maryland suburb of Washington, D.C. on a Saturday evening. Not a smart move, given the FCC is a few miles away and caught him quite quickly. And this man was supposed to be a role model for our youth. And then there was a ham who transmitted false distress signals causing a huge ocean search for a non-existent sinking ship. He too was caught, stripped of FCC licenses, and fined heavily after the FCC was tipped off by another ham. Now this is really good for public relations. Why are these hams so blatantly violating the law and in some cases creating huge problems for public safety officials?
It's hard to say. With over 500,000 hams, their service will always have some disturbed individuals. But to say it's a cry for help is ridiculous. These hams, disturbed as they may be, need to take personal responsibility for their own actions. The fact is, we as hams need to begin taking responsibility not only for our own actions, but we also need to encourage good operating practice by our fellow hams. When they step out of line, we need to tell them so. If we tolerate bad operating practices or rules violations, the service will become more polluted by bad operating than it now is. The activities on 14.313 megahertz could become the norm instead of an exception. More importantly, we shouldn't accept the excuses for bad behavior that are becoming commonplace in other areas of life. Hams need to start taking responsibility for their actions and not blame the government, their parents, their childhood, their job, or their spouse. It seems that these days, everyone is being portrayed as a victim of something. The fact of the matter is that life is not fair, that we all have to capitalize on what we were given and build upon it. In fact, taking responsibility for one's own actions can be very liberating. Instead of seeing yourself as a victim, you can take control of your life, and with it the responsibility to make the correct choices for yourself and understand how those choices affect others. Of course, remember the American Radio Relay League's amateur code that states, "The amateur is always considerate and never knowingly lessens the pleasure of others." Let's not forget that as we start taking responsibility for our own actions. Thanks for listening. 73. This has been Mark, WB9QZB for Rain.
And that concludes our brief soiree from 20-plus years ago, when there actually was some controversy here on the Rain Report. Penned and voiced by Chicago radio amateur Mark Thompson, WB9QZB. If we can dislodge Mark from his digital absorption, maybe we can cajole him into writing some more bites from QZB once again. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2018 Rain. All rights are reserved. Now, for everyone connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, covering for the still-recuperating Will Rogers, K5WLR, and bidding you a very 73 from The Rain Report, available on therainreport.com and heard on shortwave at 9 p.m. Central Time Saturdays on WTWW, broadcasting on 5085 kHz from Lebanon, Tennessee. Keep on hamming.